Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Postcast brought to you by Racing Post Members Club and also brought to you by me, Bruce Millington, plus Robbie Wilders and David Jennings. It's a postcast with a slight difference. We're recording on Thursday so that we can bring you best bets for all 3 days of the wonderful Paddy Power meeting at Cheltenham. Four races on ITV every day, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We'll get the boys' thoughts on those. Plus, we'll see what else they fancy. There's Lingfield racing on Saturday on ITV. Good old Summer Gand, so busy over the summer that he's earned himself a winter campaign. There's a big race at Fontwell on Sunday. That's on TV. So we'll crack straight on. 1:45 at Cheltenham on Friday. The meeting is live on ITV4. It's the mucking brilliant Paddy Power Handicap Chase over 2 miles. And the one thing about all these races is there is very, very few hot favourites. They're all wide open. So I hope the boys have been studying hard. Right then, best odds. All the best odds I give you will be as per the Racing Post's pro card, where you don't just get the best prices, but if you click on the best odds button, you also get to see who is offering extra places. 9 runners here. 7-2 favourite, the Glancing Queen. 4, Amarillo Sky. 9-2, Grey Diamond. 9-1, Malistic. 11, Fugitive and Monsieur Lecoq and 12 Bar. And we'll start with David Jennings. David, how excited are you for these 3 days?
Very, very excited. Yeah, I actually, it's the first year in a while I'm going to miss it because I usually would work there for the Racing Post or else go as a leisure activity. And one of the main reasons I love it, because the last race is over so early that you had so much time in the evening to go for dinner, go for a few drinks and look forward to the following day's action. So the timings are great. Whereas at the festival, you're usually getting out of the track around 7 or 7:30 and it's all a bit of a rush in the evenings. But you actually get to enjoy Cheltenham Town and if you want to stay somewhere else outside in the Cotswolds. So for that reason, I think it's a terrific 3 days. It's not as high paced as March, but thoroughly enjoyable.
Has Aoife said to you, sorry, new kid, I'm not looking after two kids on my own. You're staying.
Yeah, and he actually wasn't well as well. So I was still thinking about going maybe 2 weeks ago, and then he wasn't well, and I just said, you know what? I have to be a good daddy and stay at home, so I won't be there, unfortunately.
Correct decision, but you'll be able to enjoy it on TV, and you'll be kicking off with who winning the 1:45?
I think I'm going to be kicking off with Amarillo Sky winning the 1:45. Now, I've been really studying this race hard all week, and another show I do called Up in the Ante, there's a segment on that show where me and my new guest, Johnny Deneen, have to pick out a charity bet each week, and we're trying to raise funds for Cancer Trials Ireland. And you always want to get a good start, Bruce, as you know. So I really put a lot of effort in. I came down on Amarillo Sky as my best bet going forward this weekend. That was obviously filmed on Tuesday. And I was just praying that Malistic wouldn't get declared, because Malistic was supposed to run at Carlisle on Sunday and that meeting was called off. So I was just praying he wouldn't, because I think he's a well-handicapped horse, but I don't think he's quite as well-handicapped as Amarillo Sky. He's down to a mark of 140 now. Like, to put that in perspective, he finished fifth in the Grand Annual at Cheltenham on bottomless ground that was probably too soft for him, off a mark of 143. So he's £3 lower now. Then he was pitched into the Grade 1 at Aintree behind Gentleman to Me and Edward Stone. I loved that run at Newbury last February where he jumped brilliantly, I thought, and beat Jacob McParry by 10 lengths. Like, Go A Lil, who's a pretty decent horse, was back in third that day. I think when he's in the zone, I think Amarillo Sky is a pretty good 2 mile handicap chaser. I certainly think he's better than 140. And I think he's more natural speed than the Glancing Queen, who I think could struggle over this trip. So a pretty confident vote for Amarillo Sky for me, Bruce, but I am scared of Malistic.
Okay, and DJ, what a brilliant return for the upping the ante. I really enjoyed that show. I mean, Johnny Deneen, your new sidekick, he's absolutely mustard, that guy, isn't he? Love him.
Yeah, so you know this, Bruce. As a host, usually your job is to get as much as you can out of the star of the show. Like, so you're really there just to try and get anything you can out of them. There's no need for me there at all, because you're trying to nearly rein him back more than actually try and get stuff out of him. He just speaks his mind. I love people that the first thought that comes into their head, it just automatically comes out of their mouth. There's no process, there's no filter. Whatever he thinks, he will say, no matter what he thinks about a horse, a jockey, a race, anything, he'll just say it. And I think that's gold.
I know, but also he's not just Gus the Guesser sitting there spewing out opinions. He's a pro punter as well, former bookmaker. So he puts his money where his mouth is. No, I thought that was brilliant. I really did enjoy that. And I'm very much looking forward to the Up in the Ante every week between now and Cheltenham. So well done to you, DJ. Brilliant stuff. Poor Robbie's been waiting for ages to say his first thing on the show. So first up, how are you, Robbie?
Yeah, doing well, thanks, Bruce. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, mate. So what do you find, what do you make of the 145 at Cheltenham on Friday? DJ's gone for Amarillo Sky. Are you digging the Glancing Queen?
Yeah, I like the Glancing Queen, but I thought the value in this race, big time, was Captain Tomcat about 12-1. I could see him going off about half that price. I mean, he was in the process of running a really good race last season on this card behind Third Time Lucky. It fell in the, he felt the last there. He was really rallying. I think he would have gone quite close. Since then, he's had a spin over hurdles. He's not a hurdle, he's a chaser. It was fair enough run anyway in second. And then he tried to do 2 mile 4 in the old Rowan, but he doesn't get that trip. He's well suited by this track. He'll make the run and he'll go hard. And I just think he's been quite generously treated, dropped £5 for the old Rowan run. So, yeah, Captain Tomcat for me, about 12-1.
And Robbie, when we look back on this show on Monday, do you think you'll have tipped better than DJ? Are you confident this week?
Yeah, I am, mate, because I think that will get the ball rolling. It'll be hard to catch a 12 shot.
Rightio. We'll stick with you for the 220 at Cheltenham on Friday, which is the SSS Super Alloys Novice Limited Handicap Chase. Over 2.5 miles, 8 runners, 100 to 30 unanswered prayers, 7-2 hereditary rule, 7-2 pull again green, 6-1 Railway Hurricane, 7 Super 6, 12 bar. Rob, who wins this?
Yeah, unanswered prayers come in quite a bit. I was looking at it yesterday. He was about 6-1. He's 100 to 30 now, but I think he's the one for me. I mean, it's quite a hard ask on a horse's chasing debut at Cheltenham, but I mean, he's bred to be a chaser. He looks like a chaser. Just that open debut run this season in the Silver Trophy where he finished 5th. That's working out really well. The win at Nappers Hills come out and won a Grade 2. 7th was Proshima, came out and won a Grade 2 at Weatherby. The 2nd and 6th one next time. It's looking like red hot form. He's off 126. Chris Gordon's in very good form at the start of this season. So, yeah, I think he'll probably win if he can jump.
Get you with you. He looks like a chaser. What does that mean?
Big.
Big. Right, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be I wouldn't be sort of kitty tri-style purist for horse aesthetics, but I mean, you can spot a big horse, can't you?
No, I can't. Regulars on this show will know that I think all horses look exactly the same. I honestly can't tell between one and a little one. They all look the same. The only difference is some are grey and some are brown.
Surely you can tell size. You can tell size though, surely.
I really struggle with it.
Sometimes when you're watching races, like some horses dwarf like other horses.
But maybe a little bit bigger, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. DJ, solve this one for us.
You know what I'm interested to know here as well? My fancy for the race is unanswered prayers. But I'm interested to know, because this is very much an Irish thing. Do either of you know who sang the song Unanswered Prayers?
No.
That is unbelievable, because Irish people would be listening to this and they would be going, oh my God, how can you not know this? So
I don't even know there is a song.
Yeah, I've just Googled it. I've not even heard of Garth Brooks.
A country singer called Garth Brooks, who's from America, is absolutely massive in Ireland. Sold out loads in Ireland. So he, 90% of the population of Ireland over, 18 years of age would know that Garth Brooks sings Unanswered Prayer. So I just thought it was interesting to see the Irish.
It's interesting. And funny enough, DJ, I've seen Garth Brooks live in California. I went over for the Breeders' Cup 3 years ago. And as part of that, my mate who was over there, he said, I've got tickets for this country and western festival. And I was like, well, leave it out. I'm not into all that. But anyway, we went anyway, and it was in Palm Springs, and it was good. And the headline act was Garth Brooks. So I may well have seen him perform Unanswered Prayers, but it went totally over my head.
Okay. Well, hopefully tomorrow will come, because I think Unanswered Prayers is going to win this. I go back to that point-to-point form, and the day he was trained by Donica Doyle when he was a point-to-pointer in Ireland, and the second day he ran, he was pulled off the bottomless ground at Old Town the first day, but the second time he ran the point-to-point, it was a messy sort of a race if you watch it, because this horse went miles clear, and then he ended up in front far too early, and he probably did too much too soon that day, Rab James, getting to the front. I thought he jumped well, actually, and the next time, he actually ran in 3 points, and he was second in the last two. And his third run in the point, he was just touched off at Ballycrystal. Now, the form of that hasn't worked out particularly well, but I do think he's a progressive horse. And, even the second stage there at Newbury is working out to be pretty good form. And he only got to 124 over hurdles at the end of the season, but he was always going to be a better chaser, not just because he's big and he looks like a chaser, but just judging by looking at him in point to points, he was only going to be fiddling around over hurdles for a season. Not surprised the money has come. Like, this horse is going to be rated at least 140 by the end of the season, so I'd say he'll win this.
You threw in another Garth Brooks reference at the start there, didn't you, when he said Tomorrow Will Come, because that's the only one I have heard of, is Tomorrow Never Comes. Right, moving swiftly on. 2:55 at Cheltenham on Friday is the Glenn Farclas Veterans Handicap Chase over 2.5 miles. Bally Andy, 3-1 favourite, 9 runners here. Corto Rico, 5-1, 11-2 Magic Dancer, 7-1 bar. Blimey, Bally Andy's a veteran, lads. He won the bumper in about 2016, didn't he? And here he is running in veterans, and he's still got all his old zest for the game. Will he win this, DJ?
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's that long ago, isn't it, since he won the bumper. I'm nearly certain, actually, it was 2016, because he beat Mikey Fogarty on Battleford. I don't know whether he will or not. I'm going to chance Corto Rico. I'm probably in a minority here in that I don't particularly like veterans chases, because I think they're obviously not as good as they were, and you're trying to judge which horse has retained the ability that it had in former years. But I think with Corto Rico, you look at them form figures and you say to yourself, holy God, how could that horse win? But on his day, I think he's better than 137 rated chaser. He doesn't have quite as much mileage on the clock as some of these, and Brian Hughes gets on well with him. He's tricky now, but that second to 2 for gold at Doncaster last December, and it was a funny race to watch, because he looked like he was well beaten, then he looked like he was definitely going to win, and then he didn't go by. But 2 for gold is hardy, and he's hard to pass. That was off a mark of 138. He's £1 lower now off 137, so a very tentative vote for Corto Rico.
Okay, who do you like, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, agree. Been more strong on Corto Rico, though. I mean, his record first time out is really good. I mean, that Doncaster on his DJ pointing out last season, he was facing a tough horse there, but that was a good performance. I mean, you only have to go back to January this year. He was finishing fourth in the Cotswold Chase behind Chantry House. He's got lots of good Cheltenham form. I remember a few years ago, he nearly beat Top Notch, didn't he, in the Peterborough Chase. On his day, he doesn't win often, but on his day, he's very good. And this kind of series might suit him. He's fine over the trip. So, yeah, I think he's quite a good value at 5-1.
Do you like a veterans chase, Rob? I do.
I get what DJ's saying, but because they're all kind of past their best and you sort of are guessing. But, I mean, it's nice to see horses that have been around for ages, isn't it? Like you say, Paddy Andy winning a Grade 1 in 2016. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
So do I. Also looking forward to the 3:30 at Cheltenham on Friday, which is the Ballymore Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2 over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. It's a race that's been won by some hot horses down the years, not least in 2012. Coney Green went on to win the Gold Cup, of course. Right then, so yeah, as with the other races, there's only 7 runners here, but again, very compact, the betting. Pabrisco is current favourite at 11-4, and then it's 7-2 Hermes Allen. 4-1, We've All Been Caught, 5-1 Music Drive, and 9 bar. And it is DJ's go to go first.
I don't think it is, but will I go first? Well,
it doesn't matter, does it? Who cares?
This is a race that I think will go to Pabrisco. I'd be very, very sweet on him for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think he's crying out for a step up and trip. I wouldn't read too much into his third to Champ Kylie the last time, because Tipperary is a tight track, especially over 2 miles. And he actually jumped and travelled really well. And Champ Kylie kicked off the bend and really stretched him. Brazil was second. Brazil won the Boodles last year and beat the Big Gamble from the Mullen Stable that day. The form has worked out well. Plains Indian was fourth. But Pabrisco is the type that I think the further he goes, the better he's going to be. Now, he's obviously not in the probably, I would say he's not in the top 10. Willie Mullins trained novice hurdlers, which is hard to believe. But I do think he's probably...
That doesn't make you a bad horse, though, does it?
No, that's what I was going to say. I think he's probably a mid-130s type horse. And I think that's going to be good enough to win this, because he's got experience. Second to Merlin Giant at the Summer Festival at Galway. Then he beat Royal Romeo, which is decent enough for him, in the maiden hurdle back at Galway in September. I do think the trip is a big thing. I think 2.5 mile at Cheltenham. He's a good jumper. He's a strong traveller. I think there are question marks over the rest of them. Like Hermes Allen was very impressive at Stratford, but it's hard to know what he achieved there. The one thing I will say, my colleague on Up in the Ante, Johnny Deneen, his charity bet against Amarillo Sky this week is Music Drive, who he thinks is far better than he showed when third to Mufasa at Cheltenham last time. probably just things didn't go according to plan there. But I think Hubrisco is a better horse than Music Drive. So, yeah, Hubrisco is my vote.
Okay, who gets your vote, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a guess up, isn't it? Because we haven't seen a lot of these horses too much. But, I mean, it is interesting that Townend's over for one ride on Hubrisco. And Mullins actually has a fairly good record the last few years when he's got horses running in Britain this early in the season. But I just thought Hermes Allen was just looked really, really good at Stratford last time. I thought he was probably the one, but yeah, it's going to be a bit of a guess up. I mean, Music Drive, it's worth saying, is the only horse that's got experience at Cheltenham, so that's going to be a factor as well. So basically, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those three won, but I'll just stick with Hermes Allen.
Thank you, chaps. That was Friday. This is Saturday.
The world's number one horse racing app just got better. Download the brand new Racing Post app for free to experience our new game-changing odds comparison, exclusive daily big name tipping, and unrivaled app-only content. Head to the App Store to download it and get started.
Welcome back to the Postcards, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Let's look at four ITV races from Cheltenham on Saturday, starting with 1:45. It's the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, Arkle Challenge Trophy Trial Novices Chase. Over 2 miles, and we have seven runners. Mon Morel, 2-1 favourite. Tommy's Oscar, 3-1. 7-2, Banbridge. 5, Pentland Hills. And 12, Bar. Robbie, this should be some race. Do you think the Arkle winner could be running in this?
Oh, I don't know about that, Bruce, but it is a very interesting race. I mean, Mon Morel's a horse I've always liked, but I wouldn't want to really back a short price favourite on the first start of offences at Cheltenham. Having said that, I do like unanswered prayers, but that's another story. I just think Tommy's Oscar, he's the best of these over hurdles, wasn't he? I mean, he was really progressive last season, and I quite like what he did in his chasing debut. He was given stacks of weight to a Donald McCain horse who'd won 4 times his last 4 starts pretty easily. I thought that was a pretty good performance, jumped pretty well. There's probably a case he made he probably should be favourite. So I think Tommy's Oscar. I think Banbridge is interesting, but I just would think he'd find this a little too sharp on this ground. I think he's more of a 2.5 miler. But yeah, Tommy's Oscar for me.
Okay, what about you, DJ? I was really impressed with Pentland Hills' reappearance, I've got to say.
Yeah, he bolted up. Yeah, absolutely.
he didn't see another rival, did he?
No, that was not a good day for British racing.
No, it wasn't.
I love Mon Morel. I'm a sucker for these kind of, you know, potentially exciting like superstars who could turn out to be way overrated. But you gave out to Robbie earlier for saying a horse looked like a chaser. Lord holy God, Mon Morel is like every inch a chaser. He's just a big brute of a horse. He's a beautiful looking horse. And I was surprised that he ran as well as he did in the entry hurdle. Like, to come into that on the back of like a poor run at Fontwell, I thought it showed that he's got ability, like, because he's got the likes of McFabulous behind him. But I just thought Paul Nicholls' comments in the stable tour were very interesting. Like he said, in his stable tour with Ben Newton in the Racing Post, he said that he's always been very clever over his fences at home and has done nothing but please me in his work this autumn. And the fine line is, he said he doesn't know what his best trip is, but he's very exciting. And I hope he'll develop into one of our leading novices. Now, he's got a lot of, you know, potentially grade one novices this season. And it wouldn't surprise me if Mon Morel was the very best of them. It's not Nicholls like to go straight into a Cheltenham grade two on your first start over fences. I'd say this horse is loads of class, and you're guessing because we've never seen him jump a fence in public, but I'd say he's very good.
Okay, excellent. Let's move on to the first big Saturday handicap chase of the winter. The 220 at Cheltenham is the Paddy Power Gold Cup. 16 runners, 90 grand to the winner. French Dynamite for Mouse Morris is favourite at 9-2. And then it's 6-1 GA Law. Is it GA Law or GA Law?
I'll say GAR.
GAR. Oh, okay, fair enough, thank you. 7-1 Stolen Silver, 17-2 Il Ridotto, 11 Galahad Quest, 12 Midnight River, and 14 Bar. Sky Bet are going 6 places, everyone else is going 5 places. So, do you remember the days when you used to sweat on a 16 runner race and think, oh, blimey, will they still be offering 4? Well, don't worry about that. In this age of extra places, there will be loads. The key question, though, is who's going to win? And to answer it first, we'll go with David Jennings.
Yeah, I have actually, this is not a great way to start my tip, but I have a terrible record in this race. I absolutely love it and I live for it all summer waiting for this race. And I don't think I've found the winner of it in the last two decades. I remember being absolutely mad on Barbershop 1 year, and he ended up being beaten by Imperial Commander, who went on to win the Gold Cup. But I think it's a decent renewal without having, you know, a superstar around this year. And the one I've liked for it for the last few weeks, but that means nothing because I have such a terrible record in the race, is Stolen Silver. I know he's up to 150, but I think he's more than capable of being a big, big player around that. I don't think he's too far off being a greatest chaser. A couple of runs really caught my eye with this horse, because if you go back to his hurdling days, like, he beat Edward Stone in a novice hurdle at Haydock in 2020, and he was second to Chantry House at Cheltenham when he absolutely powered up the hill that day. I love the way he finishes his races, and time at Cheltenham in that grade two at the April meeting. I think in a race like this, you need a horse that's going to be finishing out his race. I think he will. I still think he's unexposed as a chaser. He's only had 9 starts. He's up £7 for that win at Cheltenham in April. I thought he ran well in the plate behind Cool Cody. I know it was off 1.44. He only finished 4th and he's £6 higher. But he made a mistake at the second last, and he was value for finishing a bit closer there, I thought. Look, I fancied him for a good few weeks for this race, but as I said, Bruce, that means nothing.
And you're getting off Mr. Fisher. What's going on, DJ?
Oh, sure, me and Mr. Fisher go way back. I'd love to see him winning, but I don't know. Is he going to defy a mark of 156? He's certainly not the horse I thought he was going to be, Bruce.
No, you gave him every chance, didn't you? Robbie, DJ's gone for Stolen Silver. Who are you going to opt for?
I'll give you two. I'll give you one at the top of the betting and one that's going to run well at a big price.
Okay.
GA Galore is the first one. Just think he's been really laid out for this. He's dropped to quite a nice mark, actually, because he was off for such a long time. He's off for about 18 months since he was a very smart novice chaser a couple of years ago. I mean, he won a grade two then. He was third in a grade one then. He's down to 1.42. And I thought it was a really nice comeback at Aintree in the Old Rowan. I think that race is going to keep working out well. It's got Hitman in it, who's a horse I really like. Obviously, like Captain Tomcat running tomorrow as well. But he's on 1.42. And crucially, he was held up at Aintree that day. I mean, all his best form a couple of the seasons ago is from making the running. If he goes back to those tactics, I can see that really suiting in a race like this. And he's just 6 years old, quite unexposed. I think he's definitely better than the mark of 142. It's just if he can put it all together, which I think he can. And the other one is Nassalam at obviously about 20s, I think. The key to this, he's another quite unexposed one. He's only 5, but he's actually been very consistent if you draw a line through his season return at Ascot. He completely blew it there, but he kept jumping out to his left. That's not helping on a right-hand track like Ascot. And he probably lost about 21 lengths overall, the distance he was beaten. So I don't think it's a terrible run. He's been dropped £1 for that. He's quite a big price. He's run well at Cheltenham before. So, yeah, there's one at a price for you. Nassalam and Galore for me.
Thank you very much. I love the fact that he lost about 21 lengths. That's very precise. Right, we're still in Robbie for the 2.55 at Cheltenham on Saturday, which is the Paddy Power Games Handicap Hurdle over 3 miles. There are 13 runners, and Shearer is 100-30 favourite from Annual Invictus at 9-2. Sidi Ismail 13-2, 10 on the blind side, and Paddle Your Own Canoe 12-1 bar. Do you like the look of this race, Rob?
Yeah, I do. I like one that's not been mentioned yet, Lisnagar Oscar. I mean, yeah, of course he's past his best. I mean, he's down to 142. But I see that Rebecca Curtis has booked Rob James, £7 claim off. That's quite interesting to me. I mean, Christian Williams booked him for the Scottish National, didn't he, last year on the Win My Wings. I just think he shouldn't really be claiming £7. He's got bags of experience in the amateur game. But, you know, on his day, Lisnagar Oscar is chucked in on 142. I mean, he's produced 3 of his best 6 performances at Cheltenham. He likes the place. He's got fair form on good ground as well. We don't know if he's quite as good as he was. I mean, he's obviously not, is he? But I'd like to think that with James booked, he can outrun odds of 16-1.
Former Stayers Hurdle winner, of course, Lisnagar Oscar. Okay, David Jennings, who's your selection going to be?
I like Paddle Your Own Canoe, who I think is well handicapped here off 1, 2, 3. He's another one of these that, you know, he's 8 now, but you'd imagine he's probably not as good as he was, but he does go very well fresh. His best run last season was at Haydock in that 3 mile handicap hurdle. He was a massive outsider, 40-1, and he was ridden by a £7 claimer, and he ran a cracker. That was out on the back of a 452 day break, and it was his first run for Dan Skelton as well. He's run really well on the back of a 130 day break. He's won on the back of a 78-day break, and he won first time out in 2019 on the back of a 210-day break. So I think first time out is definitely the time to catch him. Like, at his pump, like, he's a 140-rated chaser. He got to 142 over hurdles. He was eighth in the Pretemps final in 2019. He's a pretty good horse on his day, and I think that day is first time out. So, yeah, I'm going to chance paddle your own canoe.
Thank you, chaps. The Saturday ITV fair at Cheltenham is really competitive, and the final race, the 3:30, is no exception. Paddy Power feel like a favourite intermediate handicap hurdle. 2 miles and 5 furlongs the trip. 14 runners go to post, and Wise Guy is the 7-2 favourite. From the 6-1 shot, El Perfecta, and then we've got Unanswered at 7. Time Flies By at 15-2. Guernsey at 17-2. And Mahon's Glory 9. Then it's 12 bar. And we'll stick with Robbie Wilders to serve first.
Yeah, I'm writing the analysis for this race for the Saturday's paper. I've not done it yet, but and I might change my mind. But at the moment, I think Nickelback looks pretty interesting at about 12-1. I was asked to put up 10 horses to follow for the season for the Racing Post annual. I put up Nickelback as one of them. He's a top weight here, but his maiden hurdle victory at Fontwell, where he won by 30 lengths, is working out ridiculously well. The third, fourth and fifth have won 6 races between them. He won it by 30 lengths. He looked really good that day. He put up an RPR of 143. That's very big for a horse in a novice second time out. And in his point to point, he was disputing the lead in a race won by my mate Mozzie when he came down 2 out. My mate Mozzie is obviously a good horse. He's off 134. He's top weight. He's been off for 406 days. But, I mean, I like the Aidan Colwinson books. I like the trainer. She's 22% this season, Sarah Humphrey. So I'd like to think this horse will be better than we've seen, but there's just the concern that he's not got much experience and he's carrying top weight. But I really like what I saw at Fontwell. And, yeah, 12-1. That would be me.
Nickelback. OK. We should mention, by the way, that the forecast for Cheltenham this weekend is absolutely glorious. DJ, if you were going over, you'd be in T-shirt and shorts, I think. It's going to be 17 degrees and sunny on Saturday, so it should be a lovely day. But more importantly, if you're punting, the current ground is good to soft. They will obviously irrigate it, but it's not going to get any softer, that's for sure. And it might veer into good. So that's well worth considering. Also well worth considering will be David Jennings's tip, which is...
Oh, it's got to be Wise Guy. Like, this horse could potentially be the best handicapped hurdler in England. Like, he's run off 119. Like, I'd say in time, like, if you just get a look at this horse, he's definitely going to be the nicest horse you will see at Cheltenham on Saturday, looking-wise. He is beautiful, like absolutely beautiful to look at. First time out in a bumper at Doncaster, he was all the rage. He went off odds on, and I don't know how he managed to win. It was a brilliant ride by Nico de Boinville, but the horse he got up to beat by a nose was none other than Hillcrest, who obviously was a star last season and flopped at the end of the season in the Albert Bartlett, but it was just, you know, a mess of a race. It was too early in his education. Like, Hillcrest is a proper grade one horse. And Wise Guy, nothing went right in the bumper, and he still got up to beat him. Then he got injured next time at Fontwell, and he went and he won a maiden hurdle at Doncaster last time we saw him, which was almost a year ago. And again, he did an awful lot wrong, but just the way he travelled through the race, like, he clattered into 4 out, he bursted into the last, and he still went and won by a wide margin. I'd say he's a lovely horse. And reading Nicky Henderson's stable tour with James Byrne, like, I'd say they think an awful lot of this horse. I don't think he'd be messing around in handicap hurdles for too long. He's running off a mark of 119. Like, usually when I say this, I get this completely wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if this went off like 13-8 or 7.
Here we go. Yeah,
I always get this wrong. And you know what? Twitter will be giving out stink to me going, oh, what are you on about? He went off like 8-1 or something. So I have no idea how fit he is, right? I have no idea. I have no inside info into the Henderson yards. I have no idea. For all I know, he could be 50% fit. But all I do know is this is a horse with serious potential. And he's running off a mark of 119. So that will do me. And I think when people realise how much potential this horse has, I don't think that 7-2 is going to last.
Well, I mean, presumably, DJ, they haven't waited for you to say it. I mean, the betting's been available for a few days now. So why is it still 7-2?
Ah, but you'd imagine the pro punters wouldn't have backed that in the race yet. Like, I would say a couple of reasons. 14-runner field, lacking experience. There is a chance that this could just be a mess. And, you know, he didn't jump particularly well at Doncaster on his maiden hurdle win. So there's a lot of things that could go wrong. But ability-wise, like, he's got at least a stone in hand on his mark ability-wise. I'd be pretty sure of that. It's just a case of, is a race like this coming too soon in his education? That's the chance. And maybe the pro punters will want to get stuck into a horse like him because there are those doubts. But just have a look at this horse. If you're at Cheltenham on Saturday, have a look at Wise Guy. He's a beaut.
Okie dokes. Loads more weekend wisdom to come.
Tis I, Dave Orton. Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the third and final part of the postcast brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. It's Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders and David Jennings. Looking ahead to Sunday's TV races from Cheltenham. At the time of recording, we haven't had the final decks yet, but we're pretty sure about the makeup of a couple of them. First of all is the 145. It's the Schlur Chase. Always a really, really interesting contest for very high-grade two-mile chasers. Latest bet, and we've got Edward Stone at 4-6, Nube Negra at 6-4, and then it's 10-1, Editeur de Gite and 16 bar. DJ, do we see this as a straight match between Edward Stone and Nube Negra? And if so, who will come out on top?
Yeah, we do, because the rest of them are useless. That's probably why. It has to be a match. I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if one of those two didn't win. Maybe Editeur de Gite could run well, but I wouldn't think so. Edward Stone for me. Like, Edward Stone is getting £3 for Nube Negra. Nube Negra does go well fresh, and he's obviously on the back of a 204-day break. But Edward Stone, to me, is probably one of the most underappreciated horses in recent years. Like, he goes out there, he does his thing. And we have this thing, because he was kept an extra year over hurdles, that we kind of go, he's not going to get any better. But second season novices, Arkle winners, have a terrific record in their first season in open company. And I could see him winning the Tinkle Creek. I think he is that good. Have my doubts about Shishkin this year. I think Edward Stone is going to have a good season. I think he's going to kick it off with a win here.
Okay. Robbie, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I'd probably have Nube Negra as favourite, to be honest. I mean, I do have a lot of respect for Edward Stone. It's quite weird, actually. They're both 8 years old. But, I mean, Nube Negra, I think what he needs is Cheltenham fresh. His best two runs have come there. He was so good in the Schlur last season here when he smashed up Politolog, second in the Champion Chase after a break. I know he was a little bit disappointing behind Grenadine at Sandown. I really fancied him that day, but I just wonder whether he was really primed to peak for the Champion Chase and he came out and then it wasn't the kind of same preparation after. But I think he's good enough to give Everton £3, and I think he probably should be favourite.
Okay, difference of opinion there. Let's see what the boys make of the 255 at Cheltenham on Sunday, which is the Unibet Greatwood Handicap Hurdle. This is always a really interesting contest. And Thousand Tears is 4-1 favourite from the Emmett Mullins camp. 11-2 Dad's Lad, 13-2 Sonigino, 8-1 I Like to Move It. 12-1, Gin Coco and Nina the Terrier, and 14 bar. Do you have a strong fancy here, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, I have, but I don't know if she's necessarily going to run. She's not been jocked up yet. Nina the Terrier for me. I really like Alan King in these kind of two-mile handicap hurdle races. He's won two of the last five. This horse, I mean, Sonigino is very well fancied for Paul Nicholls. He beat Nina the Terrier 2¾ lengths on his return at Chepstow. He's won since. He has to reoppose off a stone worst term. And he's half the price of Nina, who's about 12-1. I thought that's fair bet. I mean, I know she fell at Weatherby last time in a decent 2 mile mare's hurdle, but I think she was going to go very close to beating Morioli's Wishes and Martello Sky there if she hadn't have fallen. I mean, we'll never know, but I think she's on a very good mark of 131 and she's quite a big price. So if Alan King's happy for us to take her chance, then she'll be the way I'm looking.
Okay, Emmett Mullins, of course, came over a couple of years ago and took this prize with the Shunter. Can he do it again with Thousand Tears, do you think, DJ?
Ash, of course he can. Paul Byrne is a genius. You know, he worked with us for many years and this man just sources these horses. And, like, you look at this horse and you see, right, he's ran 21 times. Do you know what I mean? And he ran 20 times for John Burke. And you say, like, how on earth could there be improvement to come for this horse? But he spots something, sends him to Emmett, and I suppose it's that second to Busselton in a maiden on the flat of Roscommon that instantly springs to mind. So he's a shrewd operator, obviously won the race with the shunter. 1,000 tiers, for all I know, could be absolutely chucked in. I have no idea. He's run up 129, so he's £11 higher than his Irish mark. You can see why the layers are running scared and pricing him up so defensively, because he could have loads in hand. I have no idea. But you kind of have to let them run, I think, don't you?
I think so, because, if it's going to win, it's going to defy the form book, isn't it? And how much, it's such a guess working out how much one of these plot horses is going to defy the form book. So, yeah, I agree with you. If they win, you have to bet sensibly, don't you? And be prepared for it to absolutely dot up. But can you make a, tipsters have to rely on the form book, don't they?
Yeah, you're backing the men rather than backing the horse. So I don't like doing that, for all that, Paul and Emmett are just fantastic. But I think Nina the Terrier is interesting as well. And I was intrigued to hear Robbie saying that that he thought she would have went close at Wetherby, because I fancied her that day, and I'm in a Liverpool group, and I thought she was going to go really close, and I was gutted because I put it up to the lads. I said, you know what? The two on front were unconscious coming when Nina the Terrier fell. I think she would have actually stayed on past them. I thought it was a clever ride, but they thought I was seeing stars. They thought I was being ridiculous that she was beaten, but I don't think she was. I think the makeup of this race will really suit her, so she's definitely got a big chance. She'd be my second choice. The one that I like is a bit of a mad joke. It is Teddy Blue for Gary Moore, who's got a £5 penalty for winning a Fontwell. This horse has so much natural ability, but I think his jumping has improved. He did jump better at Fontwell. He probably should have beaten Boom Bond, only for Jamie Moore lost his stick in Kempton back in the middle of October. He was good enough to run the Triumph Hurdle last year. He was second to Knights of Loose in a Grade 2 at Kempton. He's got really good form. He's a classy flat operator, rated 85. It's just settling. He is very, very keen in the early part of his races. But if he did happen to get into a rhythm, I still think he's a very well-handicapped horse, even off this revised mark of 134. So, I'm going to give Teddy Blue a chance, Bruce.
OK, before we go, chaps, loads more racing going on this weekend. Is there anything away from those 12 ITV races from Friday through to Sunday that we've looked at that you would like to put up? Don't give your naps away. Robbie Wilders.
No, I've got one more at Cheltenham on Sunday. That's all from me.
All right, mate. We'll wait for that then. And DJ.
Yeah, I have a couple, Bruce. I fancy a sneaky one in the last race at Cheltenham on Friday, the 4 o'clock. Number 17, Pepe Lemoco, runs for Jane Williams and Kieran Gettins. Now, at the moment, it's a 14-1 shot. It could go off 33s or could go off 6-1. I have no idea. But I thought it was really eye-catching first time out behind Current Mood and a novice hurdle at Chepstow. It was a pretty decent race. Super 6 was behind it, and a long way behind it in 5th that day. And Super 6 actually ran up a bit of a sequence afterwards. It's rated 124. It's not a bad horse. The winner, Current Mood, runs in the Great Wood on Sunday. And then last time out, it was run over 2-1 at Newton Abbott. And Jamie Moore rode him, and I thought he was quite easy on him from the turn into the straight to home. It was a lovely education. He was beaten by a good horse in Gin Coco of Harry Fry's. He runs in his first handicap now. He's only had the two runs. He runs in his first handicap off a mark of 106. He's a good jumper, and I think the fast pace is going to suit. I definitely don't think we've seen the best of this horse yet. So Pepe Lemoco, number 17 in the 4 o'clock. And in the opening race, actually, in the 110 at Cheltenham on Friday, I like one in this as well. Fine Casting for Ben Pauling and Luca Morgan. Rate 119. There's just little bits of snippets of form that I think this horse could be well handicapped. I thought he was very impressive at Newbury in January when he won off 114. I think the makeup of the race will suit. He's only £5 higher now. Ben Pauling has his team in good form, and Luca takes off £3. He's great value for that. So, yeah, Fine Casting in the 110 on Friday, and Pepe Lemoco in the 4 o'clock on Friday will be 2 for me.
Righto, before we go, if the boys were only backing one horsey all weekend, who would it be?
Postcast Naps, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club.
Robbie Wilders.
Do you know what? I think Nina the Terrier in the Greatwood at 2:55 on Sunday.
Okay. And DJ.
My best bet over the 3 days of the Cheltenham meeting is Hubrisco in the 3:30 on Friday, the Ballymore Novice Hurdle. I think the step up and trip is really going to suit him. So I'd be disappointed if Hubrisco doesn't win the 3:30 on Friday.
Marvellous. Thank you very much to DJ and also to Robbie and, of course, to our lovely producer, Sam Hart. Next week, loads and loads of great stuff coming up. On Monday, we've got the front page, which will review all the Cheltenham action plus discuss all the big racing topics. You must tune in again. If you didn't catch Up in the Ante this week, you can get it on demand, obviously, no problem. And Johnny and DJ will be back next week. They are essential guides to all the best bets in the lead up to Cheltenham. And then we're back next Friday for another podcast looking ahead to the Betfair Chase. Hope you can join us for that. Thank you very much for listening and have a brilliant weekend.